Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast is upon us. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors. Hey, David, how are you this week?
I'm doing great today. It's a beautiful fall day in Kansas City, so it's a good week so far. How about you?
Favorite time of year, that is for sure. So I just wish we could lock in fall almost all year round. I like the other seasons, of course, but you know, let's just make fall like 9 months, and then the other seasons can divvy up the remaining months.
Well, if you're taking a straw poll, I'm right there with you.
Okay, good, good. We'll see what we can do. We'll put a petition together about that.
Yeah.
We'll see how lucky we get with submitting that one. We've got a great show for today. A bit of a heavy topic, so, you know, be ready for it. But it's an important, important topic. I think, you know, on a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about taxes and the importance there. Something else that's really important when you start thinking about estate planning and thinking about the next generation and your family is talking about a will and this conversation and sort of this thought process, David, and I know you'll elaborate on this because you're the one meeting with people each and every day in the office and probably hearing this statement quite a lot. But it's this statement that goes a little something like this. It's quite simple. I've got a will. Isn't that enough? What's your reaction when you hear somebody say something like that? What other things does it bring to your mind?
Let me preface the entire podcast by saying I'm not an attorney. Now, I have been married to one for 38 years. So,
small qualification on the topic there.
And I work with this stuff all the time, but I'm not an attorney. So I'm not giving anybody any legal advice today, nor do we give investment advice. But hopefully some super good ideas that you write down and then pursue with the professional in your life. But most people say, you know what, when I'm gone, I just want my assets to go to the people that I choose as quickly after my death as possible. So the famous line in my business and in the estate planning business is, a will doesn't avoid probate, it causes probate. And so what you want to make sure is that the documents that you have in place before you draw your last breath actually do put those assets in the hands of the people that you choose as quickly as possible. So let me just start, I guess, with the definition. Would it probably be helpful to have a definition of what probate is?
Yeah, probate is one of those buzzwords that I think is worth defining.
Yeah, so probate or probate court, that's what we're really talking about. That's a legal process after you die to determine where the law can determine who gets title to your assets. So it's costly, it's frustrating for your heirs, it puts dollars in the pockets of attorneys who don't need those dollars. You've probably already paid them to do some work for you. The last thing you want is to have them take your assets through probate. So you want to try to avoid that. A will tells the world what you want to do with your assets. Who gets what? So for instance, your will might say something like, upon my death, I want my three children to share equally in the ownership of my home. The problem with that is that for them to take possession of the home, to hire a realtor, to sell it, they actually have to get title. Unless you do what I'm getting ready to tell you to do, they can't get title without going through a probate court, a probate process, hiring an attorney, and waiting for some judge to declare that they can have title. How can you fix that? Well, the answer is a beneficiary designation. And you say, wait a minute, on my house? Yes. On your house, there are three main categories of assets that tend to go through probate, and it's totally unnecessary. So as you're putting together your estate plan, you don't have to have a trust. In fact, this is a bold guess, but I'd say 90 or 95% of households in this country don't need a trust, but they need super good beneficiary designations, which are really cheap to put in place. So back to your house in this example. What you need to do is go to the county office or maybe pay an attorney $300, $400, $500 to do it for you, to have a beneficiary designation put on the deed to that property. And then it gets registered with the county such that when you and your spouse, if you die first and your spouse inherits it, that's no problem because there are spousal laws in place. But when the second of you dies and you don't have a beneficiary designation on your home, and it's not properly placed in a trust, it goes through probate. For very little money, you can have a beneficiary designation put on your home. Doesn't stop you from selling it. doesn't slow you down from selling it. But if you die, that keeps that asset from having to go through probate. The second set of assets that tend to go through probate are your cars.
You would do a beneficiary designation on your vehicle.
You would do a beneficiary designation on your vehicle.
Count me in the camp that's surprised at this conversation. I thought that was just something that only applied really to like an investment account type thing. But
yeah. So how do you do that, Walter? Well, what you do in Kansas City...
You leave a note on the windshield.
Yeah, a letter in the glove box.
Right.
No, what you do is you go down to the DMV, and here you get in line from your home on your cell phone, and they text you when you're getting close to the front of the line. And you go up to the front of the line and say, hey, I need to name some beneficiaries on my vehicles. And the nice lady or man behind the counter is going to go, oh, okay, I know exactly how to do that. So you're not going to surprise them. It's totally simple. They do it all the time, but you have to think to do this. They're going to charge you $20 or $25 per vehicle. So then your title is going to have a beneficiary or two or three. You get to decide, but don't just assume that when you die, your will is going to take care of it, because it won't. So I mentioned three main asset classes: real estate, cars, and then your financial assets. And in this case, your bank assets. So I'll bet that 25% of our listeners to this podcast already have this set up at their bank, and I congratulate you for that, which leaves about 75% out. So all you need to do with this is go into the lobby of your bank and tell the customer service person, I want to put you could say a beneficiary designation on my checking and saving accounts, but what you're probably going to say is a TOD, a transfer on death designation. They might say, oh, you mean a payable on death, a POD? And you're like, sure, whatever. But all you want to do is make sure that your financial assets, because your brokerage account, if it's an IRA rollover, I'll assure you it has a beneficiary added to it. Now, they may not be right. You may have your ex-spouse still listed as your beneficiary. But with IRAs and 401ks, everybody's really good about making sure the beneficiaries are on there. But with your bank accounts, that really almost never happens. So if you're really looking to avoid probate, you want to make sure that your real estate, your cars, and your bank accounts have beneficiary designations on them. So I've got a couple of other additions here.
My mouth is still on the floor that we're going around setting beneficiary designations for all these different things, David. I mean, are these, am I just totally out of the loop here? Or are a lot of people kind of like, you know, wow, I didn't know you could do that when you talk about this?
Oh, it is very widespread, the amount of disinformation that's out there.
So I don't have to feel bad.
You don't feel bad at all, which is why I thought this topic for this podcast would be super important.
This is a good one, yeah.
And so those are pretty simple, but they don't happen by themselves. Pretty much on a life insurance policy, on an annuity, on a 401k, and an IRA, those pretty much happen automatically. But if you've gotten divorced over the last 2 or 3 years, or your spouse has deceased, or you never named secondary beneficiaries, well, then when you die, either that money is going to go to your ex-spouse, which may be what you want, but it might not be, or you may pass and there won't be specific beneficiaries, and then state law determines who gets those assets. Wouldn't you really rather make sure that your wishes are what gets fulfilled here? So make sure you got beneficiaries, make sure you have secondary beneficiaries on your financial accounts. And then, with the exception of three more things I want to mention, your will ought to do a pretty good job of making sure your assets get to where you want them.
I like all the different directions that we're heading here, David. And it sounds like the answer to our question we posed at the beginning of the show of, I've got a will, isn't that enough, is certainly a no.
It's absolutely positively a no. If you have assets, a will isn't going to keep your heirs out of probate.
So going online and filling out like a free will form or something like that, that's not going to get the job done.
Nope. That's going to tell everybody, because wills are public knowledge, that's going to tell everybody who you want it to go to, but that doesn't tell how they're going to get access to it. A probate court is going to tell them that, and you're trying to avoid that. So that's really the biggest piece of the podcast. But Walter, there are three other things I wanted to mention about, I'm loosely going to call this do-it-yourself estate planning.
Okay.
But if you're not going to an attorney and getting a full package, a couple of more things that you want to make sure you have in place, whether you are 30 or 70 or everywhere in between and maybe on the other sides of those two, you need to make sure that you have powers of attorney, financial and medical powers of attorney. And all those mean are while you're living but can't speak for yourself, who can speak for you? So, for instance, let's say you're widowed and you don't have a spouse to speak for you, and you become incapacitated in some way and you need somebody to pay your bills, write your checks. Well, you want to make sure you have a very trusted person in mind, but that would be a financial power of attorney. A medical power of attorney would be one to speak for you if you can't speak for yourself. Those are super important, especially if you're over 50, but frankly, in your 20s and 30s and 40s, those can be really important too. It's just the instances are rare that they come into play. You'd also want something called a HIPAA authorization. So every time you go into the hospital, they make you sign one of these things. But if you come into the hospital incapacitated, well, you can't sign a HIPAA authorization. And all that is a legal document that allows medical personnel to talk to whoever you authorize about your situation. That could be your spouse, your kids, whatever. If you don't have one of those on file, I'm not saying that a doctor isn't going to talk to your spouse or your kids, but they're not supposed to. So to have a HIPAA authorization is super important. And then the third thing, which I guess would be the fourth thing, because we went through beneficiary designations, we talked about powers of attorney documents, we talked about HIPAA authorizations. Finally, I'd encourage you to have a living will.
Now, wait a second, David. We said, I've got a will, isn't that enough? No, now we're back to still getting a living will.
And a living will is something that says, here are the steps I want to be taken to keep me alive. So there are some people out there that say, if I am incapacitated and I have a slim chance of coming back, do not resuscitate. Don't go to the ends of the earth to try to bring me back if I'm not going to have a quality of life that's good. Other people might say in their living will, do everything humanly possible to keep me alive as long as possible. But you get to make the choice if you have a living will. If you don't, then you have your relatives standing around your bed and everybody's crying saying, oh my gosh, what do we do? And somebody says, well, I heard Dad say this. And somebody else says, well, I heard him say this. But if I've got a living will, they all know what I said. So those are four key things that if you are going to try to do an estate plan, do it yourself. And you don't need a trust, make sure you have really super beneficiary designations. Make sure you have your powers of attorney in place and talk to those people so that they know what your expectations are. Make sure you have HIPAA authorization so doctors and medical staff can actually talk to the people you love about your situation. And make sure you have a living will such that if you are laying in there in that hospital bed and you can't speak for yourself, that document will tell your loved ones, here's what I really want you to do in this situation.
It's and really helpful because so many people, David, families can be torn apart. You know, I've seen it many times, many examples of this throughout time of whether it be about the money, whether it be about the health concerns and decisions. There's so many things in this whole estate planning process that can hurt a family if somebody leaves a mess or a complex situation behind them.
You're exactly right, Walter. And I think of my family of five, my three daughters and my wife, we all probably think slightly differently about life and end-of-life issues. And so I can take a lot of pressure off those four terrific women if I just put in a document, here's what I want done at the end of my life. So it takes a lot of the pressure off your loved ones. They don't have to make decisions wondering if they're doing the right thing. You just tell them in advance, here's what I really want done with me.
Saves them a lot of stress, saves them a lot of heartache, David. And I think a lot of people would probably feel good to have that power and that control during a time when you have none, right? During a time when you're incapacitated, yet you can kind of control these things beforehand. That's a guideful hand that's very helpful in many situations. So I can see why this is so important to go beyond just the standard old will and have these extra elements built into a plan.
Yeah, it's super important. You know, so as we were going through this, I found myself getting more emotional than I thought I would, because most of what we do on these podcasts is all financial stuff. and it's all pretty cut and dried, and it's a lot of black and white. This is a decent part of my business as a financial advisor, because you're dealing with people's real lives and their emotions. And, you know, to take this out of the emotional realm, and especially this living will, do this while you're while you're not in trouble, and say, if I get in trouble, this is what I want done. That saves everybody a lot of heartache. It's just part of having a solid plan. And, you know, if you ignore it, then it will be ignored, and maybe it will never become important. But boy, when it becomes important, there's no making up for it once you're in that spot. It's either done or you've put all that stuff in other people's hands. And I just encourage you, don't do that.
Seems like one of those things, David, as we wrap up here, where if you have the need for this type of planning, most likely you have the means to do the planning. It's not like some things in life where you may have the need but not the means to do it. This is one of those things where if you have a need for this type of planning, it means you've got assets. It means you've got things to control, to give down. It means you've probably got the means to take care of it. So do it. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait too long. Don't ignore it. Don't bury it under the sand just because it's uncomfortable to talk about. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get some of these things taken care of for those around you, for your loved ones.
Exactly. Just take charge while you have the chance.
Yeah.
So hopefully
you'll be glad
this is
you did.
Helpful for somebody who's listening, who is just, you know, I've been procrastinating about this for so long. Hopefully something we said today is going to tip you over the edge and you're just going to get it done. And I hope that's what we accomplished today.
Absolutely. If you need any help with your financial plan, want to ask David some questions, or have a suggestion for a future podcast topic, we'd be happy to get your feedback. Give us a call at 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414. Or submit your questions online at coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. David, as always, thanks for the guidance and the help on the show today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
I'll look forward to it, Walter. Thanks.
Be sure to join us each and every week for the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. For David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next time.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.